VanWe Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is a Saturday morning. It's Florida Georgia weekend, which means everybody out there is driving a million miles an hour and whipping through all the lanes, so be careful out there.
And more importantly, Florida State Miami weekend.
Who are they?
Yeah, I figured you'd say that.
There's another football game on Florida Georgia Day?
That is correct.
Wow. Who knew? Anyway. It's 10 o'clock, and that can only mean that this is the VanWe Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWe.
And I'm Adam VanWe.
And one of us cares a little bit about Florida. The other one cares a lot about Florida State. So I guess, are they at the same time?
They are. They're both at 3:30.
Well, that was some interesting TV planning, wasn't it?
Well, it's a good thing we have two TVs.
You have a point there. Now, if you only had two eyes. Oh, wait, you do. Okay, see if you can disjoin them. Anyway, enough. This is supposed to be a financial hour. I know,
oh, yeah.
Not a sports hour. But, you know, sometimes things happen around you that are just so big. And if we want to talk about money, the financial impact to this city of this game, that's why I'm so glad they up for another couple of years with another extension, because this is big.
Oh, it's huge. I can't imagine them moving it away from here. It's such a big tradition. I've been to that game several times, okay. And it's always a good time.
Yeah, a lot of people arrive the week early that RV City down there that – been tradition for decades.
And this is the first year without the landing. So hopefully other parts of town and other parts of downtown are benefiting economically from the landing not being there. So,
well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Good. Well, anyway, it's not the only economic impact we're going to talk about today, obviously. Some funny things happened this week called records.
Yep.
And it didn't take very long coming out of the chute this week to set the first one.
No, and then we saw another one later in the week with the NASDAQ, and the Dow is not quite there yet, though.
No, but three times, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the S&P, we broke records.
Yeah, it was a really good week.
Are we in a bear market yet?
Well, recession for sure, right?
Yeah, I got a couple words to say about that.
Okay, I figured
the
you would.
The basic one being no.
Yeah.
But anyway, it really was a nice broad base. We talk about this a lot, that a lot of people like to talk about it. I'm guilty as charged. Talk about the market in terms of the Dow, which is only 30 stocks, but the numbers are big and they're fun and they move a lot and all that stuff. But the point is, it doesn't really represent the stock market in any way, shape, or form. And you saw that on display this week with the records and changes in the NASDAQ and the S&P. And when you're looking at an S&P 500, which really does represent the American stock market, when you're looking at it setting records every other day, you're going to be a happy camper if you are either an advisor like us or a client of an advisor like us, because, gee whiz, it was fun this morning to open it up and see the balances up and wowie. So how can you be in a bad mood?
No doubt about it. Lots of good stuff this week. We've been telling our clients in their quarterly reviews this quarter that this market has been in a consolidation period for close to 18 months now. If you go back and look at a three-year chart of the S&P, you'll see that we were not substantially higher than we were in January of 17. But we've also been saying that we need a catalyst, some sort of big something to happen for the market to break out.
Like and impeachment?
I was thinking more like a China trade deal, but whatever.
Yeah, that'll do it too.
And this week we saw some pretty positive news in that regard, and I think that's what really propelled the market to break through that previous high. So I'm very cautiously optimistic that this is the start of another leg up. I don't know that to be true, but it would not surprise me if that happened. We definitely saw the trade deal take a step closer to being done this week. They called it a understanding in principle or something. The Chinese delegation used that term on Friday, which did not hurt the market at all. There was other good news on Friday.
A promise that doesn't need to be kept.
Well, I think that in a trade negotiation, there really aren't any promises that are need to be
kept. Meant to be kept.
Yeah, until you sign on the dotted line, nothing is final. But but the optimism around that was clear on the market this week. As I mentioned, the Dow did not quite make a new all-time high, and mid-caps didn't either, and then small caps are still way off of their all-time high. But all three of those, the Dow and the mid-caps, inched towards an all-time high. They're not; they could very well see it next week. The small caps still have a long ways to go, but they did make a good move.
They did show signs of a breakout, though.
They did. They made a really good move in the right direction this week. So there are a lot of signs out there that this market could push higher. So for the week, all three indexes ended up more than 1%, and the Dow lagged at 1.4%. The S&P was up 1.5%, and the NASDAQ up 1.7%. For the month of October, the Dow was up 2.4%, the S&P up 3.8%, and the NASDAQ ended up 4.1%. Then November started off just like October ended, with some very positive China jobs news and China news, propelling the market up around 1% on Friday. So, and then also there was some pretty strong buying going into the close. In fact, I think it was the session high that the market closed at, or very near it. And that's always good news when you see strong buying going into a weekend.
Yes, it is.
Well, October was a great month for the S&P. Not all sectors were treated equally. Energy dropped more than 2%. Utilities were down 0.75%. And consumer staples and materials were both negative as well. However, healthcare had a big turnaround, gaining over 5%. Technology was up 3.9%, and then communication services and financials were each up more than 2%. For the year, no sector is negative, with energy being the worst performer at just over 5%. Technology is up more than 37%. Hard to believe, but it is true. And also, that healthcare turnaround we saw this week was pretty interesting, mainly because
dramatic.
It really coincided with Elizabeth Warren's poll numbers decreasing. Now, I don't think that was a coincidence. She scares the heck out of healthcare providers. Her plan released on Friday, it's hard to even describe how crazy it is.
The first line on my show notes to myself this morning says, "Stupidity on parade. Is it worthwhile to even discuss Elizabeth Warren?"
It was, it's a big, audacious plan, that's for sure. I'll give her that. At least she's being honest about some things now, like the fact that 2 million people would lose their jobs in the health insurance sector.
That's just part of the cost.
Yeah. And the cost, I think she's being honest about, too. I think the 10-year tally was $52 trillion, something along those lines, 12 zeros trillion.
Yeah, how'd they do when Medicare first started on the estimating?
I don't know.
Well, I think they said it would cost something like $4 billion on whatever year, and it came out something more to the tune of 100.
Okay,
close. Maybe the numbers weren't that dramatic, but whenever a government estimates the cost of a program in advance, they never take into account the dynamics. If you give free health care to people, they're going to use it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And where they might not use it if they have to pay for it. So there is that factor. That's really hard to estimate. But, I think you could look at the percentage of people that use health care as 64-year-olds and then how much that goes up when they hit 65 and go on Medicare. So that might be a good way to approximate it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to be said about that and the stupidity and the gravity. Mostly, I tend to laugh when I hear things like this, and mostly it's serious. So we'll try to take a laughing look at a very serious topic and how it's going to cause a lot of things to not go well for a lot of people, and they're not all going to be Democrats either. It's just very bad for the public to have the image that something like this can be done, because it fuels unrest. But anyway, we'll get way more into that in a few seconds. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as usual, we have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can reach Ken at 904-636-7888. Adam alluded to the Chinese deal that maybe we're going to get together on for stage one. That's one of the things making the market better. Also sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk is the USMCA, which has been approved by the Senate, by Mexico, and by Canada, and all they need to do is bring it to the floor of the House and take a vote for a half an hour and boom, it's all done and whole bunches of people go to work and make a lot more money and all that. But it's short of that, it's not getting done. But, you know, the market goes up and down and the hand-wringing that goes on and all the whiny people on the radio, on the television, all those tariffs, you know, always all this anti-Bush crap. My question today is very simple. What percentage of our imports is impacted by tariffs currently? Between 0 and 100%. So all you got to do is shoot out a number. Lines are open, 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK. All right, back to this absolutely delightful. We got jobs reports and all kinds of stuff to wrap up the market wrap.
Yep, we do. I wanted to briefly mention international stocks, which had the U.S. wasn't the only good market this week.
No, almost everybody.
Yeah, it was pretty much everyone. Germany gained more than 6%. Brazil and Russia more than 5%. This was for the month of October. And Italy and Hong Kong actually gained more than 4%, which is interesting since Hong Kong officially entered a recession.
And they're burning the place down every weekend.
Yeah, it's been 6 months of protesting, if you can believe that. Canada was down slightly, but most countries posted solid gains. And China also rallied on Friday along with the U.S. on that news, gaining more than 2%. So,
But, you know, Canada will come right back because they reelected the Trudeau.
Of course. Commodities had a pretty strong week as well, gaining about 2%. Oil and natural gas were the big winners, up 3.7% and 2.4%. Fixed income did not fare as well.
Good morning, Stephen.
Yes, sir. I think the answer is 33%.
You think, huh? You think
I'm
a little
pretty
too
sure
high.
Of that, but you're the expert.
You're a little too high. Well,
okay.
Well I'm going to even say a little. You're too high. Sure.
Keep up the great work. Thank you. I
thanks
listen
so much.
To you every Saturday.
I hope you know how much we appreciate that. Thank you. Anyway, back to...
Yeah, fixed income did not fare very well. That's just mostly because money was just flowing into equities this week as the market rallied.
And you got the Fed rate cut that may or may not have made any difference
in
anything.
Did anyone even notice?
Not really.
It didn't seem to.
If you said... Fed rate cut and China, the only people who were listening were those who heard the word China.
The only thing that they would have noticed is if the Fed had not cut rates. That would have not, my guess is that would not have gone over well.
That wasn't even in the picture.
No, not really. It was about a 90% certainty.
Yeah. Well, I predicted it. You know what else I predicted?
What's that?
I predicted that it would be as soon as this past week where the market hit a new high, if you remember from last week's
show.
Yeah,
you did.
I did. Boy, whew.
Let's talk
got lucky.
Earnings. So there's been more than 1,100 companies that have reported so far. 70% are beating on the bottom line. That is a really strong number.
Good.
That would be one of the best quarters in the last 10 years if it were. And if it ended this way, it could still change. So we don't know. On the top line, numbers not as good, coming in at 58% beat rate on sales. It's not a terrible number, but it certainly doesn't rank as one of the best quarters. Guidance is more negative than positive, but it actually improved this week. It was much more negative going into the week than it ended up. And guidance has been negative for the last four quarters, and it really hasn't worked out too poorly. So I'm not going to worry too much about the negative guidance spread. The tech sector is posting the most beats at 78%. And let's see here. Materials is bringing up the other end of that spectrum at just 56%.
Good morning, Paul.
Okay, 33% is too high,
yes.
So I'm going to go with 20%.
And 20% is too high.
Too high. By the way, on Warren's Medicare for All, have you heard her sales pitch? Here's how she's selling it. No middle-class tax increase. It would not require...
Right.
Yes, boys and girls, it would not require a middle-class tax increase.
Right. And you believe her, right? Like I do?
Well, I guess most people will.
That'll be dispelled pretty soon. And you know who's going to dispel it?
Bernie.
Bernie and Joe. It's not going to be us that have to tell her she's wrong. She's getting told from the inside that she's wrong.
Well, we'll just stand back and watch them destroy each other as they did in 2016.
Start the popcorn. This is going to be fun.
You have to hand it to Bernie. He's at least honest about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to cost everyone more.
Well, it's only free when you use it. Incredible. We appreciate it, Paul. Thank you so much for calling. Ron.
Yes, sir.
Well, you got a guess? I'm great. How are you?
Actually, I was going to ask you a couple questions.
Great. Well, please do.
I'm curious to see. I'm curious to hear if you've heard from the fellow that went to all cash on June the 1st.
Well, we did. You know, I said December 1st. I have to admit, I got up this morning and I was looking at all the numbers and I was kind of giggling about that old
thing. Yeah, I thought about that as well.
But I can't go back on my word. It's only been 5 months so far. But let's just say it's not looking good.
But he did call a couple weeks
ago.
He did.
Yeah. And he sounded a little sheepish then. I bet he's a little more sheepish now.
Oh, my.
He's still not wrong, though. He can't be wrong till December 1st.
Well, it's going to be one heck of a month, then, if he's going to be right. I tell you that.
You got that right. Oh, gosh, I hope not.
We tried that last December, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that very well. Now, the other thing I was going to ask you guys, on Thursday morning, Apple traded down like a flash sell or something to 237 for just an instance.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you guys noticed that or what that was all about.
And then,
okay.
I didn't see it. I heard it.
If you look at the, you heard about that?
I heard about it. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Somebody put in a massive sell order?
Somebody
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm sorry I missed that.
You blink your eyes and it was back to 247. And I'm wondering, you know, people that had a stop price at, say, 240.
Oh, God.
They got sold out, and then bam, it's back to 247.
Yeah, so Apple's getting so big now they think they can have their own flash crash, huh?
Yeah, that's right. They don't have to wait for the entire market.
That's right. Maybe that's getting too big. No, I'm sorry I missed that. Maybe something will be written earlier this next week now about that whole thing, because people watch that stock like it's their only thing, and for some it probably is. So whenever an explanation is written, well, it will be demanded, I think, and therefore it should be written. But if we find it, we'll certainly talk about it next week.
Okay. And what was that, about 5 years ago that we had that flash?
I think that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I want to say it was in the month of May, but don't quote me. I remember watching it, though. I was just glued to the TV watching. I told my wife, watch this. I don't know when, but you're going to see a stop and a turn and a sharp rise because this is abnormal. And we watched for a while, and it did hum a little bit, and then up she came. And can you imagine how many people got absolutely taken to the cleaners on that thing? Wow.
That's sad.
That would be like betting against Trump on Election Day.
Yeah. Good luck.
Not your best move. Did you want to take a shot at the trivia question while you're here?
I just won 2 weeks ago, so I probably shouldn't. But I could help with.
You can close the bracket, hopefully.
Let's try 15%.
You're still too high.
Okay. Wow, yeah, that's surprising.
Gets a lot of play out there, but it doesn't affect all that much, does it?
I'll be darned. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Hope your team wins.
Yeah, I was going to say, go Bulldogs.
Nice.
Yeah, you can even say that on this show. We don't care.
Yeah, I live in Georgia, so what can I do?
Well, good luck. Well, the best team will definitely win. Part of me fears it will be yours.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Keep up the good work. We listen every week.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Thank you so much. All right. That's funny. Go Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the range of the station is pretty powerful.
Yeah, they upgraded it a few years ago since we've been on the air.
Yeah, actually, since we started. Yeah, absolutely true. Okay, other noteworthy things?
Yeah, economic data.
Jobs.
You know, there was a ton of economic data this week.
Yeah.
Not all of it looked very good, but the big headline numbers looked good. So there was a lot of other stuff that didn't look as great, but GDP came in stronger than expected. Guess why? The consumer still spending.
Yep.
So here's the thing about the consumer and the manufacturing sector. It's not adding up. The consumer's out there spending like crazy, and manufacturers are telling us that they're cutting manufacturing like crazy. So what gives? I believe the consumer numbers, because that's actual data. Some of the manufacturing numbers are sentiment or surveys of people who work in manufacturing.
Right.
So that data is soft data. It's much more likely to be influenced by sentiment. If the consumer's out there spending like they are, and they continue to do so through the holiday season, I just don't see a way that manufacturing goes into a recession. It doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you. You know, that recession is just not coming. I was reminded this morning of Tommy Lee Jones, and when he said, I'm going to look at every gas station, every warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse, and I'm going to find that recession wherever it's hiding. Because it seems to be hiding really well, doesn't it? Wow, people. If you listen only to the gloom and doom of the major mass media. In fact, I'll talk about some headlines, those that were there and those that weren't there, when we get back. And just they're trying to get you down, and thank you for not listening to them. We'll be right back. This is the Benway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Benway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Benway.
And I'm Adam Benway.
And we still have our trivia question out there. It is, despite all of the talk about the tariffs and the problems, misery it's causing everybody, what percent of imports are actually affected by the tariffs today? And we know that it's greater than zero, but we also know that it's less than 15. And I will, as usual, take it plus or minus 1%. So now you know it's lower than 14. See? Just gave you another clue. All right, anything we should wrap up? Yeah, the jobs report, the 208 or 108, 128.
128,
that's
yeah.
Good.
128,000.
That was backed up by a lot of good things, like the ADP reported 100 and a quarter.
Yep, and the 95,000 jobs that they added to the prior months, and the unemployment on target at 3.6%, and hourly earnings year over year up 3%, so all around pretty good.
A lot of people came back into the workforce again. That's what bumped up the unemployment rate, because they're counted when they come back in.
Those are normally people that have given up working. They just didn't think they would ever find a job, and now they're saying, oh, there's jobs out there. Maybe I should go back to work and make some money.
And the household survey that's also done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that came up with 241,000. Those are largely people that start a self-employed job, either hoping to stay that way or to get an actual job with somebody later on. There is no other way to put that jobs report than to say, hallelujah. Although, I have to give the financial press some credit. They found a few ways. You know what the number one way that they were poo-pooing the jobs report was? What they didn't say. It's always those lies of omission. So, biggest headlines of today. I looked all through the financial media today looking for headlines, and what I noted was the lack of headlines about how good things are. Headlines I did find after that blowout report were on these subjects. Climate change. What in the world are we going to do without Beto? Super rich elite have more money than they know what to do with. That was this morning. Credit cards are out of style in China. Common phrases that make you sound unprofessional. The 12 best 401k providers of 2019. Deep sleep plays a role in Alzheimer's. And my favorite, we're all screwed. The U.S. is a banana republic and a depression could be on the way, warns a money manager who deals in what? I know, treasuries and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand why I do these things a little bit, and you understand that the best way to handle them is to not handle them, just listen to the show. We'll tell you the truth.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people do know the problems California's having with their fires, right? In the electricity and so on. The fix is in. I heard it this morning about 8:30.
What's that?
Gavin Newsom's thinking about taking over the company.
Oh, that's been an ongoing debate.
Oh. Well, you know why that would help, right?
Because every time government takes over a private company, everything goes better.
Yeah, we just get some professional management in there. Now, what were you just telling me about those numbers? About the waste in the private sector versus the waste in the public sector?
I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but I read, when I was in grad school, we read a case study that one of the big consulting firms had done that compared private industry waste to government waste. And if I remember correctly, government wastes about three times what private companies waste. So I think the numbers were somewhere around 10-12% for private and 30-something percent for government.
Hmm. There's also an old economic rule, I guess, that some of you are probably familiar with the velocity of money. That means when you spend a dollar, if it doesn't go anywhere, it has a velocity of one. But if I spend it on Adam's stuff and then he spends it on your stuff, then it went over twice. Well, that ripples its way through society. And in the private sector, it's been estimated that a dollar spent is worth about $2.50, and in the public sector, about $1.50. So the velocity of transactions that happens in the private sector is worth a lot more than just the little bit it gets. And to slow it down, all you have to do is bring it into government, and that'll just collapse it further. 2 million people out of work overnight. That's the cost of the healthcare system being saved for everybody. How many of you out there? This is the most serious question anybody could ever ask you on this subject. How many of you out there believe that Medicare is free?
By the lack of a response, I'm going to guess that not many of
you. I can't hear you.
Because I know a lot of you pay for it every month.
Yes. And if you look at your Social Security check, how many of you think that that's your gross check that got deposited into your account? It is not your gross check. It is your net check. What is it net of?
Medicare.
Absolutely. The basic charge for Medicare per person, not per family, per person, is $135. And depending on how much money you make, it can go up over $400 a month. Now, how many of you think that when Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are telling you that your Medicare, which you will all be in, Medicare for All, is going to be free, how many of you know that that free has a price tag with it of $135 to $452. I bet not that many.
Nope. And we're not done there either, because that's just the basic cost of Medicare. There are other costs to Medicare as well.
20% of it is not paid by Medicare.
Right. And then there's also other parts of Medicare that are optional that you can pay for.
Drugs are not covered. That's right. So if you're looking at these people telling us that we're going to have free health care, Medicare for All, lying is not even a strong enough word about this. It's beyond that. It's some of the cruelest deception ever. How many of you think that the Finnish plan or the Danish plan or the Swedish plan is what we're striving for because they pay nothing?
Except for what they pay in their taxes, which is astronomical.
Their taxes are astronomical. The middle class taxes, they're 55-56%, but that's not all. In Sweden, 100% of the cost is borne by the 84% government pays and the 16% the individual pays. That's free health care in whose world? Not mine, folks.
And so,
not mine.
When they say that, essentially what they're doing is swapping out private insurance for a public option. And I personally don't see any benefit to being forced onto a public option. We talked about the waste, so you know that it won't be cheaper. And B, there's no such thing as free. So whether you're paying it when you go to the doctor or you're paying it in your increased taxes, it's not going to be a good deal for us.
Yeah, not only that. Start calling around to some of the classier healthcare provider institutions in the area and ask them if they're taking on new Medicare patients.
Right.
If you are a new Medicare patient, when it's going broke faster than it is now, which, by the way, is really, really fast, do you think you're going to have a better shot at getting in there? I don't think so. The Medicare Trust Fund, as I heard it yesterday by someone I considered fairly reliable, is slated to go broke around 2026. Now, if we're running an annual deficit of $1 trillion, that means we haven't paid for Medicare yet, even for the few people on it. So how is paying for more people going to do that? You cannot talk to me, at least, about anything that's going to be added on but won't break the bank until I hear you come up with your first plan, which is to spend a trillion less or raise a trillion more so that we at least enter the new program on a break-even basis. This government is $1 trillion short of paying its own bills as we stand here today. So whatever goes on top of that trillion too.
And just in case you think that Jeff Bezos is going to fund us all, Jeff Bezos is worth about $110 billion. That is not, I mean, it's basically one-tenth of $1 trillion. This is supposed to cost $34 trillion. In the first year, he would fund $7 billion in her Warren's Medicare tax. And that isn't even a drop in the bucket. Where is the rest of it going to come from?
Here's an exercise you can do during the break. On the right side of a piece of paper, make three zeros and ahead of it put a comma. Then make three more to the left of it and put a comma. Then make three more to the left of that, put a comma. Then make three more to the left of that and put a comma. And then ahead of that is 52. That's the cost of Elizabeth's health plan. You tell me where that's coming from, because she won't. I'm telling you, people, this party has no chance of being elected to the White House, because I'm going to irritate all of you to the point where you go out there and vote no matter what, if I can. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. And I noticed lately he's got a little bit more of a sprightly step because of the, 25, 30-degree drop in temperature. Must feel pretty good when you work as hard as those guys do. No doubt about it. A trivia question still open. For all the fuss we hear about tariffs, what percentage of imports are currently affected by those tariffs? And we had guesses starting at 33, and we're down to under 14. So you should be kind of getting the idea right now that it's not as big a deal as the media would like you to believe. Well, last week, I started talking about people who wanted to keep their family home in the family, and how I was going to admonish you that there are ways that maybe you should and should not try to achieve that goal. If I were to give you the shortest version of how to do it, the cheapest, it would be just like this. Ready, set, go. Die.
Do nothing.
Yeah. How'd I do?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The best way, you would be amazed how much a financial planner will cringe when somebody comes in and says, well, I want to give my house to my kids, or I want to put them on the title or something like that.
No,
don't do that. The easy way, but it does involve work. The easy way, the best way possible, and you start thinking about doing something different if you're worth more than $11.4 million
as a single.
Yeah. 23 basically as a couple. Then you start thinking that maybe there's a better way, but assuming you're like most of us and you're worth less than $11.5 million, you simply draft a will, a legal one, and make sure that it's signed and witnessed properly and recorded and that somebody has it so they can find it. And in that will, you say, I hereby leave my homestead, my family home, to whatever heirs you want to leave them to. They don't have to be your own kids. They don't have to be anybody. Just you give it to them through that device and that device, and they will own it.
But fair warning, if you do that, your kids might be a little ticked off.
Which one?
The one that didn't get it.
Well, that's not my problem.
No, isn't at that point, it is not your problem. That's the good news.
You probably would not be too surprised to hear how many times we hear people in the office and they say, well, I've got this one kid I'm not leaving anything to, but I digress. I'm just glad that wasn't me. Anyway, while you're up, so to speak, if you're doing or redoing a will, and by the way, if you've moved to Florida and have not updated your will, do so. And if you haven't updated your will in 4 or 5 years, do so. There have been a lot of changes in the way things are done, and you need to account for them. Also, remember, I was telling you about the $11.4 million each one can be worth. If we do not make these individual tax rates from 2017 permanent, it is slotted to go back to about $4.5 million in 2026. I am operating under the assumption that it will be made permanent, but also with the codicil that it might not. So if you're worth $7 or $8 million you might want to take another look. But if you're worth under, if you're worth under about $9 million as a couple, you're good. So just remember that, and we'll report on this. I'll be jumping up and down and yelling in the streets when these rates get made permanent. So you'll be the first to know on the first Saturday after it happens. But while you're up and you have an attorney or whatever you're doing to get that will prepared, make sure you do your durable power of attorney and your medical directives and get it all in order. Your children will thank you. Your friends will thank you. Your spouse will thank you, on and on and on, because without it, you become a bureaucratic object, and I can't guarantee anything from there. So a lot of people are under the misguided assumption that if they wait until they die, that the kids won't get the home. Now, it's that simple. Will it to them? Just like that. Now, if you got a little bit more money or you want to make things a little easier, replacing a will or adding onto that will, a living trust, and putting the home in there just makes it a little easier, because it's, they read the trust, boom, it's yours, sign some papers, boom, done. So the easy way is to do the least thing that you can think about. But what if you want it to transfer over and you want to stay in your home, which you can, of course, if you're going to die there. But if you want to stay in your home, there is a legal device, and it would require a lawyer, and we are not, of course. But it's a trust called a qualified personal residence trust. And what happens there is it's a method of freezing the value of your home. So if you're living, for instance, on the ocean and property values are rising real quickly, you might want to project ahead and say, oh, I'm going to be worth too much when I die. I got to freeze that value. Well, now here comes the culprit. So you write that, and it transfers that ownership over for a fraction of the price, and that fraction is determined by how long you get in terms of the culprit to live there. It won't work unless you give it enough time. It won't be significant. I've seen them mostly done for about a 10-year period. But the other thing you have to remember and consider is that under a culprit, you have to outlive the culprit or it disappears. You might as well light a match to it if you die in 9 on a 10-year culprit. So that's something that has to be discussed with a very competent attorney and done that way. But it is a method of preventing all that rampant appreciation from becoming an eventual problem. All right, how about you just give it to them? Now, most people have a very, very vague understanding of gifting. Taxes on gifting are weird. Mm-hmm. I've said it from the day I learned it way back in the 90s. A recipient of a gift is never responsible for the taxes on that gift. The only person who may pay taxes would be the person who's giving the gift. Now, if that seems unusual to you, it did to me also until I started to understand the whole thing a little bit better. But when you give something to someone, you alter the terms of what was paid for it. And callers come up. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hi, I'm going to guess on the trivia.
Yes.
I'm going to guess 5%.
You know what? You're too high.
I'm too high.
Shocking, oh, wow. Isn't it?
Okay.
You see my point, though, don't you?
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Yes, thank you.
We appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it just got a little easier, I think.
Yep, not much time left, though.
Not much. Anyway, when you give someone a gift, let's say you buy a share of stock for $100 and it goes up to $500. Yay. If you give that to someone, anyone, that is not worth $500 to them as their basis. Their basis comes from you. If they sell it, they would pay taxes on your profit, meaning they inherited your $100 basis, and the $400 that they would sell it for would be taxable to them. So what if you bought $100 stock, it rose to $500, and you sold it, and you give them the money? Then there's no gift tax because it's underneath the $15,000 non-taxable gifting every year. You have to understand that, or you're going to make a mistake. Good morning, Larry.
Quick guess, I won't burn time.
No problem.
3%.
You are the winner, and you didn't need the plus or minus one. It's the ding, ding, ding. 3% of our imported goods today are affected by tariffs.
My morning.
That's all right. I'll put you on hold,
Thank you very much.
And we will get your information. Thank you. See what I mean, folks? I always try to have an educational overlay to this thing. All that stuff you're hearing now is about 3% of our imports. It's incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So is it important to get done? Yeah. But what's the real reason? It's not because it affects 3% that it makes it important. What makes it important is that the goal is to go to zero tariffs. We're going to have everybody at zero. Nobody has to worry about it because ultimately who gets taken by tariffs? Ultimately, it's the consumer who gets taken. It's better for everyone's economy to not have them, and that is exactly what this administration is trying to do, is so you don't. Anyway, gifting is a very, very tenuous thing. Any real person could give any other real person $15,000 a year. You don't have to report it to anybody. I would admonish you, though, if you do that, document it. Keep a copy of the check. Keep a documentation of the gift. And when I say real person, it just means you have to be able to fog up a mirror. A trust cannot gift to someone. Only a person can gift to someone. Does it matter if it's a relative of yours? No, it doesn't. It's any real person anywhere in the world, and nobody's going to ask you why you did it, except maybe your kids who might be mad at you if it's somebody else. That will never happen. Not to me. Anyway, the whole concept of keeping a home in your family is very complicated. If you have questions, call an attorney or call us, and we'll help you get directed to it. All right. Be very, very careful this weekend. It's a big one out there, and I hope whoever's listening that your team does well. Hopefully we just need a really good game. It's good for everybody. We'll see you next week, same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.